Arcane Analysis is brought to you by BlizzPro.com, partnered with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Follow them on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Legion by Lenovo or visit LenovoGaming.com.
The portals are open. The refreshments are conjured. Settle down for Arcane Analysis.
Welcome to episode 2 of Arcane Analysis, a World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Samantha.
I'm Allie.
And I'm Katie.
With the drop of patch 7.1.5 tonight, we felt taking a look at legendaries would be appropriate. First off, we're going to start with the RNG of legendaries for Legion, which is a new take on it. Previously, in previous expansions, there has always been an RNG element, either the start of a questline to obtain the legendary, or just a random element to the drop itself from whichever boss it was on the loot table for. This time around, you can get a legendary from just about anything, but it's still RNG, and you don't know what you're going
to
get.
So what happens is you start to get you get the exciting point of, oh, hey, I got a legendary. Oh, wait, it's that one that I don't want. And there's nothing, I guess, really more disheartening than getting something and being really hyped to see the famous orange and then suddenly be something that you really don't want to equip or that you're not excited for. Like, how disheartening is that?
Its usefulness is a stat stick and not its other procs that are supposed to be there.
Yeah, I mean, things are useful, certainly. Look at Pyrdaz. It had the neck with before, it just, if you weren't taking damage, it would give you a shield, and that was cool. But what happens if you're taking damage?
Yeah, any raid encounter, pretty much everybody's taking damage all the time from something, and
or
maybe
even
not
in a
on
dungeon
normal.
Or solo.
Yeah, exactly. Especially on progression content, you're pushing hard mythic pluses, you're pushing mythic raids. There's AoE is just part of the management of
that's just. As it is, so you really saw it come up, and that was, it diminished the value of it, and almost, and the way the secondary stats were, it was, if you got somewhere close to it, it was better to use something else if it had better stats for you.
And some of that was mitigated, at least, by the item level buff that we saw a few weeks ago, bringing them from 895 up to 910, but it still didn't ameliorate the issue of, well, this is cool, but it's completely useless for me, so when's my next legendary going to drop so I can unequip it and equip something else?
And, talking to friends and others, some people were really interested in earning their legendary. What could I do to give me a mark of a legendary of, oh, this legendary is cool, that legendary is cool, or I did this grand thing, here's a legendary, I did this grand thing, here's another legendary. And it was nothing that you could work for, it was just maybe today, maybe not.
Yeah, there's some of our raiders that, they were deep into Mythic Emerald Nightmare before they got their first, whereas some of the guildies had three or four. I got lucky with mine, but I'm not raiding, so it was always one of those hey, you got this really cool thing, and I got nothing, and you don't even raid. That's lame.
One of my friends who was raiding heavy progression was had Pyrdaz, and their friend who was just this random casual had all the had three DPS legendaries for Demon Hunters, and essentially were quote unquote wasting them. Not that they were, but that's what it felt like to them. You don't want to have that kind of petty feeling, do you?
Nah, it takes away from the fun. And not to mention that, I know there were cases with the, world first progression where they were doing split raids, they were running alts. One of the tanks had two of the same class, and he ended up using his alt tank of his mains class because it got the better legendary drop. It had the better gear drops in general. So that kind of thing, it makes it weird.
It's RNG on RNG.
I can appreciate RNG because it gives some element of surprise. You don't, or at least I don't always want to know exactly what I'm going to get all the time. but having some control, because it's like a double dip of RNG of like, hey, you got the RNG, you might get a legendary, you might not. Oh, but you might not get one that's useful for you, and God forbid if you're in the wrong spec when you loot the thing and you get the wrong one. It's
like your Frost Legendary and your Fire Mage.
Yeah. To be fair, I did that on purpose because I had I had three for Fire already. So I wasn't really expecting what I was like, hey, maybe since I'm leveling my Frost Artifact weapon, maybe I'll just click the box. And I got, you know, one of the best in slot Frost ones. And I hate Frost. I never play it. But by golly, I've got that best in slot item.
Well, there's definitely this valid point of having almost too much RNG. So it's RNG drop for to get your legendary. And then on top of it, it's RNG and which legendary is going to drop. And is that legendary going to be legendary that you're going to be excited to get? Because it's sort of either best in slot or has a really cool effect that you want that fulfills your fantasy. Or is it going to hit the RNG place where it's like, wow, I finally lucked into getting my, you know, legendary, but I'm, I think I said artifact, but I meant to say legendary. But now I've, instead of, so I've lucked into getting my legendary, but it's not a legendary that's really useful or gets me excited. So it's almost, it's too much RNG. So you get RNG for the drop, RNG for exactly which one it is. And probably would be, I think that players would be more fulfilled or satisfied, as you two were mentioning about having this idea of like, well, there's some sort of progression where you work towards getting maybe your legendary, maybe the RNG can be a secondary effect or something of the sort.
Maybe you could work towards getting a legendary and then have it be random which one spawns, or have, like someone mentioned, getting a token. You randomly get a token and you can hand that in for the one that you want. And there's two edges to that sword, but at least it cuts out some of that randomness and gives the player some choice. You know, maybe you really want Pyrdaz and the thing. Maybe you're good at avoiding certain damage. Maybe you're just doing normals or heroic where you're not constantly taking AoE damage. And you can get that shield of proc. And if you can, that's a great boon for your healers. And if you can, you know, I guess live with one DPS legendary and one, I guess, what utility is, what you can call it, it would mitigate that.
It would have a more satisfying outcome. And even if we weren't going to, like, swap the random legendary drop and get a token so you could go to the vendor and pick what you wanted, maybe even if that wasn't, like, your first drop, but maybe your second one you got to pick it, like, that would feel better, in my opinion. Like, I think that would be a satisfactory compromise. But, like, you were talking about utility.
Then you could get what you want the second time.
Yeah.
So although, I mean, you still have some people with two legendaries and some with five, right? So where's the disparity there?
Well, you can only equip two. So there's some limiting there for the haves and the have-nots and the good luck and the bad luck. But, of course, somebody who's got five legendaries for their class has a little more
flexibility.
Flexibility, potential for utility. Yes. Yeah.
Potential to choose when they want utility and choose when they want, you know, big damage. Which, I mean, historically, legendaries have been RNG, so there's, you know, it should be some sort of that. The Bindings of the Windseeker started off with just, you know, do you get it to drop? Yes. Okay. Did you get the other one to drop? No. You can go months without it getting dropped, but if you got both of them to drop, you knew that potentially very soon you were going to just destroy things and be legendary.
Yeah. And that leads into just the whole problem of throughput, you know, damage normally, depending on your role or utility in general. Like, utility has its place, but it isn't fun. Or sometimes the legendary that you get the utility ability for, like, you shouldn't be having, like, you shouldn't need that shield anyway because you shouldn't be standing in fire. At least, I mean, granted, the way that it was is that you had to not take damage, but the new changes, you just get your shield every 30 seconds, so you're guaranteed that of like, hey, I could not move for this mechanic and continue to deal out damage, or should I maybe just move for the mechanic and not need,
I mean,
that one?
If you're arranged, if you can avoid moving, it's a huge increase to your damage, and you don't necessarily think of it that way. So if you have pure devs, what is it? Like, in our current health pools, like 800k? That's a lot of damage. Most things won't eat through that shield in one hit.
Yeah. I have the blink shield, which
it gives you...
Yep. Bellavir's, yeah, it's a chess piece. It's not a DPS one, but it's pretty awesome because I can blink twice and get 20% shields, and I can solo stuff that I might not have been able to otherwise, or, you know, survive a mechanic because, you know, it's 500k each time.
The brawls.
Yeah.
The PvP brawls, because suddenly people aren't expecting that extra shield that they have to chew through when they're trying to kill me. It's like kind of fun.
Yeah, and that's on top of, you know, the, well, which was the frost shield, but now as fire, it's the burning shield, which it replenishes itself as you're taking damage from close range, plus the blink shield, plus that one, and it becomes a very powerful survivability utility so that you can continue to crank out damage. But for other people, that would be a very disappointing item, but for the content that I do, I love that thing. Not that I have another DPS legendary to swap it out with, but I have it and I like it.
Well, I think one of the problems with the utility legendaries is that they're very useful in, you know, survivability and sort of giving your class maybe more flexibility than it would have had otherwise, kind of gives you a little bit of a saving grace and some other things that will help you perform better over the long run, but almost enables players to have this crutch on not necessarily bad play, but if players are trying to get better at, you know, following mechanics or sort of doing things properly, now they have this legendary that sort of enables them to do just the opposite. They can stand in the bad, they can do this other stuff, and it's sort of like it almost goes against a player's will and desire to do the right thing to successfully do an encounter, and that might not be fulfilling, as well as, you know, this idea that, well, if I'm a DPS character and now I'm sort of have my legendary doesn't further my DPS, now it's sort of telling me like, oh, you're going to get more healing. It's not going to be as fulfilling or satisfying to the player that just wants to see their numbers skyrocket. Their numbers are going to be lower and much lower than the person that gets their DPS trinket.
Yeah, and that's another thing that poses a problem from a recruiting standpoint, is that if you're looking for, and it's especially problematic for DPS just because they're more prevalent, you need more for each raid, they tend to be more disposable, unfortunately. But if you're looking at two DPS applicants and one has the right legendary and one doesn't, chances are just on the, and this is making the assumption that their damage output levels are comparable if neither had any legendaries at all. But if one of them, if the better player has the crappy legendaries, but their logs are the same as the worst player with the good legendary, then, you know, it doesn't play out well. It doesn't feel good. It's disappointing of like, I play my class the best that I can, but I'm missing that enhancement, not I'm using the damage legendary to make up for my poor play.
And before the... today 7.1.5, some of the DPSs could, you know, 50-60k increase just straight up, and so you had, you know, I could say, oh, I was beating this person by 30k DPS consistently and they get the right legendary and suddenly they're beating you by 30, maybe 40 sometimes k, and it, you know, maybe because of that you just lost your raid spot and the progression race. That's something to consider. When you only bring so many of certain classes, it can really hurt. And it's, you know, why should RNG of a legendary suddenly cut you from a group? And hopefully that's not the case, but I can definitely see it being the case. And that's really...
Yeah, I mean, you know, the argument is always bring the player, not the class, bring the player, not the legendary in this case. But a lot of times people don't follow that logic. They bring the most reliable output. You know, they're not going to bring the guy that is a grease spot on the floor every encounter. They're going to bring the guy that survives and does really good damage.
Yeah, and as long as, you know, if the person that's staying alive and bringing good damage, you're always going to bring them, of course. But if you have to choose between the person that's dead and the person that can put pulls more damage if they can stay alive. You know, maybe if they get the right legendary, suddenly you might be willing to maybe excuse that. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it's something that you have to at least consider. And it creates a problem where maybe there shouldn't be one. You had back in Warlords of Draenor and Mists of Pandaria, everybody had the legendary. And so it, you know, it was less exciting. Not that this is, you know, people aren't having a legendary now, but everybody had
reliable,
the same thing.
But it
was reliable, yes.
Yeah. But it put people on a level playing field again. And that is a more amicable outcome. Because
if everybody has it, then you don't have to worry about balancing that somebody doesn't have it. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to worry about the person that has this utility versus this person. And there's a lot of variables, and it's easier to balance if you have one thing versus, oh, well, there's four different legendaries you can have for each spec that are throughput increases. It's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that short-term fulfillment of by guilds, by people in power, actually leads to long-term resentment. For example, the player that's getting that legendary that sort of, you know, nixes them out of being the higher tier player that they could have been if they got the right legendary. Well, now they're going to be upset because they possibly lose a raid spot, possibly become disinterested in a while, possibly, you know, aren't playing with people of like comparable player skill, and then now you have these players that get the right, you know, the right legendary. Now they're playing with people of a higher skill level. They possibly catch up and learn, but then as soon as, I don't want to say a legendary is a crutch, but when you no longer have, you know, best in slot, you know, these players are now, you know, they're going to be the skill difference might become more apparent, and they might not be as happy either because they're not, you know, they feel like they've somehow regressed when in reality they didn't really regress, but the legendary was just powerful enough to bump them up into a place that maybe they should have been in the first place.
And so, like, the whole resizing of the I think it's a good thing. I know for a couple classes it made all of them suddenly be within a few percentage points of each other, which is, you know, ideal. It's not always the case, but suddenly it makes it so that if you have a throughput legendary, it's less about which one you have and more of, do you have one or do you have two or do you have zero? And, you know, at some point, luck's going to give you one. I mean, right?
Yeah, at some point, the bad luck protection kicks in. Eventually, you're at least going to get the one, and eventually you're going to get the two. And since they've, you know, lifted the cap, the secret ninja cap of four, chances are you're going to see a lot more people with more legendaries. They're going to have more choice. But it's one of those things of, this is a problem now and it doesn't feel good. But 6 months from now, it might not be a problem because there's more choice. So you can make those conscious decisions.
That with artifact power. Now...
And that becomes an issue all the time of like, well, when this is on a farm, it's not a big deal because we're done till next time.
Certainly, and but as you know, we've seen it through the history of World of Warcraft. As soon as it's not a problem, people forget about it or they stop talking about it, and you know, the devs are like, whew, finally that's done with. Because it's not a problem, but our mentality is now focused on, you know, why can't I do as much damage as that person because they have a legendary and I don't? Why can't I, you know, do as much healing as that person because, you know, they have that legendary and I don't? We're all creatures of competition. I mean, WoW is competition.
And instant gratification.
And instant gratification, too.
So, and that's one of the kind of nice things with the nerfing of the throughput legendaries, you know, with 715 is that it brings it down so the people that are behind or don't have those or had the bad luck and have got the utility one, they're not so far behind. But that also, that nerfing kind of feels bad for the player that had one, that had the luck and they've been doing really good with it. But to mitigate that nerfing, the revamp of the secondary stats for, you know, jewelry and whatnot for gearing, it should, for your net damage, put you at the, you know, the same place that you were pre-patch, but the people that were missing those throughput legendaries, it brings them up to a more comfortable level, and that feels better to the people that were lagging behind.
The people that suddenly don't have any now don't feel...
It's not as punishing.
They're useless. It's not as punishing, yes. I mean, it shouldn't, as much as it is right now, it's bad to be the have-not in a world of everybody has. It's easier to be back in the older legendaries. You had, you know, one, maybe two legendary staves from Firelands. You had one or maybe two sets of daggers for rogues and Dragon Soul. And, you know, if somebody had those, you could say, oh, yes, they're doing more damage because they have that. And everybody else is okay, you know. And that's easier to process of, yeah, okay, I'm the average. They're the not average. Whereas if I'm not the average and I'm doing much less damage, then it feels worse than, you know, the alternative.
Well, it always feels bad to be at the bottom rung regardless. You're right. It's like before it was like, okay, I know this class, you know, for Dragon Soul, it's our rogue. They have legendaries. I'm a mage or I'm a druid. I'm not going to be concerned about, you know, oh, they have skyrocket DPS comparison to me, because it was like you were saying, it's easier to digest and it's more comprehensible. But if you're the only person in your raid group without a legendary, you're obviously going to be, you know, stuck at the bottom. And it's not necessarily because you're a bad player. It's just because you've had bad luck. And is that real? And when you're looking at those meters for DPS healing, et cetera, it feels bad, man.
It feels very bad.
Super bad. I mean, meters is a product of our desires to constantly measure our value. And, you know, I know it's not popular saying, but maybe the game would be better if they didn't exist. But at the same point, you know, you don't want to be like, oh, I'm having such a hard time. Why am I having such a hard time? And have somebody come over and just blow something up if they're the same gear, same class and everything, or maybe not the same class, and have it be like, you know, why the heck, you know, why can't I do that? So at least the meters and Warcraft logs and all those tools allow us to go back to the developers and say, hey, you know, why can't I be as good as them? And they've gotten very, very good at least trying to keep things balanced, which I do applaud them for that.
Well, in keeping things balanced, we do have to remember that in a world of people getting, you know, now people are more and more people are getting their legendaries. In previous Dev Summit interviews, they did mention that while Emerald Nightmare and the earlier raids weren't going to be balanced around people having their legendaries just yet, it was this idea that, well, not many people have gotten them yet, so we're not going to balance them around there. The later raid tiers, and probably including Nighthold, are going to be balanced around most of the people in the raid group having their legendaries. So in a world where you are that person that's still hasn't gotten their legendary or hasn't gotten the right one, or you're at one legendary and some of the other people in your raid group have, you know, two, three, etc., you're going to still be hurting because of RNG, and not necessarily because you are a bad player.
Does it make legendaries bad for the game? You don't want to hear that because...
No, because I think it's a good source of trying to introduce fun. It's just that the problem of when you put fun in direct competition with, sorry for bad wording here, with competition, it sucks all of the fun out of there. So it's one of those of like, well, if we're going to have these legendaries and have these throughput things, every single legendary needs to have throughput, or every single legendary just needs to be utility. So then it's flavor, then it's fun. It's more like, it's more interesting, like transmog or the fishing artifact
really
weapon or something.
Though, if it's not.
I mean, there's been other things that were legendary that weren't weapons. Not many, but they're there historically.
I guess you're true. Yeah. But that's just kind of always been... Not, not the stupor. The draw of the legendary is to get that is a huge, huge power gain, in some way or shape or form. I mean, you could argue that the shields from Pyrdaz and the damage bonus from Sethas were, you know, they are legendary. To get a 30% shield, that is huge. It's just, but it's just not necessarily the legendary that you want right at the time.
It's not as ego boosting. It's not of like, ooh, look what I did on the meters today. It's just like, ooh, I survived that blow today.
And that's actually, you two bring up an interesting point of what makes WoW so different than most other gaming experiences. So these legendaries do introduce a lot of fun, a lot of new ways that players can play the game, sort of interest and variety. But at the end of, you know, your raid night or at the end of each fight, no one's recounting like, man, remember when you're, you know, shield procced for 30%? Damn, dude. Like, what they look at is numbers. WoW is one of the few games where almost everything can be broken down, thrown onto its spreadsheet, and min-maxed or over-analyzed or analyzed just enough. And you don't see, like, oh, you know what, like, I mean, you probably do see, okay, the legendary procced here to give extra healing or extra absorption, but on most people's meters, or at least most people are going to be looking at, you know, your healing per second, your damage per second, overall damage, you know, how much damage did you take as a tank, etc. They're not going to be looking at like, well, hey, like they were actually able to do some fun stuff over here. And it's just lost. It's almost lost on the player group as a whole what parts of the encounter were most fun for the individuals. And then for the individual, because they're getting the feedback from the rest of the raid group, like, hey, this person's not pulling enough damage, or this person isn't, you know, in the top five of our raid group, like that, then it's not as fun for them because now they're being judged. WoW is just, again, one of the few games out there where you can really just sit down and break down exactly what's happened throughout the whole entire raid or throughout the whole entire encounter that you've had, and just turn into numbers, and not so much an experience.
I guess so. It's a spreadsheet simulator.
Spreadsheet simulator.
Sometimes.
I guess part of that is the group that you're in. Like, the raid groups that I participate in, there's some people doing, we're doing heroic Gwarm last night, or Garm, however you pronounce that stupid dog's name. It was me and another couple people, and we were sitting right around 400k DPS all night, and they're the three of us. And then after that, the damage just like dies off. Most people are doing about two. There's a couple people at like 200k DPS, and nobody makes comments about them. I'm sure they think about it, but it's not a point. Like, nobody cares. We're just having a good time together. We're killing bosses. I mean, Garm died, so, you know, what does it matter? I mean, we do make fun of the hunter for having all the healing and utility legendaries. So we joke, oh, you're the top healing hunter in this fight. You know, oh, you got the most healing. You ranked there. You didn't rank in your damage, but you ranked in your healing. I mean, we have a fun time. And so
that's... Yeah, and that's really how the game should still be treated, as it is a game. But a lot of people take it very seriously, and you don't want to dismiss that because you want to be respectful of people's time and their effort. So it's always interesting of, like, at what point, what's the tipping point for people to respect the lack of RNG and just accommodate around it. But a lot of times on competitive scene, it's overlooked.
Yeah. Because, and I would say that the competitive scene is very good for the game. They're the people that look at, well, Frost isn't that good. So the average person benefits from those people really digging and saying, hey, fix this. Or, you know, looking at mechanics and being like, this is broken. Or maybe not saying this is broken, but taking advantage of a broken mechanic, and Blizzard coming and saying, oh, hold on a second, we need to fix that. Or, you know, if not then, looking forward into the future. And I think,
yeah, it's good to have them ask those questions and push those limits. Like,
they are so important.
Yeah, it benefits everybody, even if they don't realize it, because it brings into, you know, developers' scope the that importance of parity. you know, for all player levels.
Mm-hmm. Well, being in the, you know, being a representative, I'm not a representative of the competitive scene. Sorry, I was like wording that really terribly, but a representative of the competitive scene that does bring to light, you know, to the developers, like, hey, this legendary is broken, or, you know, this legendary isn't working in the way that it should be, or it's not living up to its potential. Like, they have, the competitive players have, or professional players have more clout than your regular player. Like, it's like, okay, well, this player, we can trust that they know what they're talking about. It's not going to be like, oh, like, you know, we don't have to, as a developer, you don't have to question. It's like, I don't know, man, are you doing your rotation right? Or I don't know, man, are you sure you're not standing in the fire? Like, there's, you know, there's this level of trust that those players can have with the developers, and then together they can sort of work on, you know, hey, like, this legendary, it's not working the way that you want it to, or these legendaries are not fun in the way that you imagine them to be.
Yeah, which, you know, brings an interesting point, because a lot of people that were, you know, very core contributors to the community work for Blizzard now. They work on QA teams, they work on development teams, you know, they know what it's like to be on this side and try to bring it in. And I think that's always been a really nice thing, is that we've got people batting for the players team on both sides.
And so right now, through discussions and talks with the devs and Q&As, we have our current legendaries are 910, and that's going to stay the same. But 940 is going to be the new norm when Nighthold goes live on the 17th.
Which is
and
next
that's
Tuesday.
Cool.
Yeah.
But what happens, we're going to have these distilled Titan essences, and I do admit that I haven't quite looked into it enough, but how hard is it going to be to get those items? And are we going to be hoping that, you know, that 910 legendary that's best in slot that we got now and we're so lucky for, what happens if we are trying to upgrade it to 940 versus are we just hoping that it drops again? You know, that kind of seems like a silly thing to think about.
Yeah, like, I hope it's I think it's 40 of the distilled essences.
It's 50 of the it's 50 of the essences of Amenthal to hand in, and that gets you the distilled Titan essence.
Ah, okay, that's what it is. So it's something that's probably going to be farmable. I just hope that it's like 100% drop, so that you can, even if it takes 2 weeks to get the 910 to the 940, it's a measurable
time. It's something
time.
Static that you can work for.
Right.
Right. And it's,
honestly,
and we're sort of done with
RNG.
The RNG for having that legendary. It's like, oh, sorry, I just talked over you. I was so excited to talk about RNG. It's my favorite little acronym, really.
Yeah, RNGesus is kind sometimes, and sometimes RNGesus needs sacrifices.
And hopefully no more sacrifices. Once you've gotten your legendary, you want to take your 910 legendary up to 940. I hope it's exactly what you're saying, Sam, which is, you know, that it's going to be pretty much a guarantee drop for the essence. So, you know, hey, I'm only going to have to farm for this for 2 weeks, but at least I know in 2 weeks I'm going to have my, you know, my 910 is going to turn into 940 to catch up to, you know, the Nighthold legendary drop. So you're not, you know, continuing to, you know, be tortured with, you know, getting the essences on top of that, you know, to continue upgrading your legendary.
Yeah.
And so that leaves us with legendaries as we are.
So it's...
Hopefully people get more items, and then... But that's, you know, legendaries as they are. We've come from a system where it was just a random RNG to, I guess, an earned RNG, if that makes sense.
A little bit, because I think, you know, those that put more consistent time into the game have a tendency to have a few more, generally speaking, outliers notwithstanding. So it makes an interesting presentation of them. I'm not going to lie, I would honestly like to see a change. Like, if we're going to continue to have legendaries, you know, in the next expansion, whatever it may be, I would like a change from this system. But I think it was, I don't think it was a wholly lost cause, but I'm sure there's lots of learning to take away from it, which, you know, I know, like, Ian has mentioned in Q&As before that, you know, if they could go back and change it, there are very definitive specific things that would have been changed, and now they're just at a point of trying to ameliorate the situation to keep people feeling good about it and not just let it be a lost cause.
Yeah, definitely. I would say that this... But, and while everybody has a legendary, it's not like the same legendary. It gives you little increases of your choice, almost. If you like this playstyle, this legendary favors that. If you like this playstyle, that legendary favors that. And it's kind of a cool way to kind of mix things up, which isn't bad for the game, honestly.
Yeah, that's one of the things I really appreciate about WoW, even though it's a 12-year-old game, is that, you know, we're not playing the same game that we were 12 years ago. We are, but really we're not. Like, if you reskinned everything and called it another name, would you make many similar comparisons to the two? And that's something that I can really appreciate from a creative standpoint. And something that keeps me coming back is it's always consistently refreshing. And, you know, I think with that, we can probably tie things up and call it a night. And, you know, ask for your guys' feedback. You know, what legendaries do you have? How do you feel about them? What are your suggestions for modifying the system going forward? So you can find us on Twitter at Arcane Analysis. You can find me, KT, at KTJNWOW.
You can find me at Aleva.
You can find me, Katie, at Phyrexia.
And you can also email us at Arcana, ARCANA, at BlizzPro.com. Until next time.
Bye, thank you.